The poetry of Albert Goldbarth takes off at high velocity as if his language and imagination were fueled by supermarket tabloids glancing off real life and his own memories. Taking a TV dramatist's view of a murder, for example, or examining the disappearance of a child whose picture appears on a milk carton. Joining us from our member station WFIU in Bloomington, Indiana, is our poet guide, Catherine Bowman, to introduce us to some of Albert Goldbarth's poems. Kathy, you have two poems today. Tell us about the first one we'll hear. That's the one about the murder.
Right. The first poem is called How Easy It Is, and it's a modern-day fable. And like a good fable, it's very compressed, yet cinematic in scope. Listen how Goldbarth weaves an image of the cheek throughout. Here it is.
How easy it is. A family is murdered. Husband, wife, a 5- and 6-year-old. The bolt is sawed off cleanly, and the slits in the throats are neat, professional slits, as if 4 envelopes were opened. Even the signature the killer left, a scoring on the cheek of each, is neatly figured, bingo or tic-tac-toe-like. The town is horrified. Although these deaths are dust motes in the dunes of death that pile and reshape themselves and could cover a city daily, still, the town in which these 4 were slaughtered is horrified. And that night, wives and husbands surreptitiously eye the common comings and goings of their own homes with emotions that surpasseth understanding. There are few clues. Days go by. A man admits to having nightmares and is sure he committed the murders while in a trance and shows up weeping at the station. A woman phones. All week she hasn't been able to bring herself to lift the kitchen knife to simply dice a carrot. Even her emery file makes her skin crawl. She did it. She knows she did it. Sleepwalking, hypnotized, let them come and drag her to a cell. The detective assigned to the case wakes up that day and dons his good detective wear and kisses his wife and son on their cheeks and drives to an office he finds is swimming in various written, phoned, and in-person confessions. They come from every neighboring state. It seems that half the planet realizes how easy it is to damage a family. There are hundreds of confessions and not one real suspect. Maybe the local cops aren't doing a good enough job. A pressure fills the squad room. There are forms and reporters and more forms and a nasty call from the mayor, and by day's end our detective is a tightening engine of knots being powered by coffee. How did it go? His wife asks. Oh, damn it, he says in front of the sun, in the loudest voice he's used in their own 6 years together. She brings her hands up to the sides of her face as if he's actually hurt her there.
That's quite a line, dust motes in the dunes of death, Kathy. But is the point of this poem that although most people don't murder their families, most people do something to their families about which they feel guilty?
Yes, I think that he's saying that even the most decent, well-intentioned people are capable every day of little acts of hurt and betrayal.
Tell us something about this man, Kathy, about Albert Goldbarth.
He was born and raised in a blue-collar neighborhood in Chicago. He has written over a dozen books of poetry. He says he's lost count. He doesn't like to pay attention to that kind of thing, just to keep writing. He refuses to touch a computer. He says he never will, that he writes all his poems with a Bic pen in a spiral notebook.
This next one strikes me as something that is straight out of a tabloid.
It's called An Explanation, and it's made up of three distinct moments. A boy having an epileptic fit is compared to the people in a fundamentalist church in a spasm of religious ecstasy, and then suddenly we're watching a couple in a room where a woman is talking in her sleep.
An explanation. They say this really happened in the Church of Eternal Light. A penitent dropped to the floor wearing nothing but sweat. She spasmed like some snake on an electrified wire. She uttered angel eldest speech, and then she disappeared. They mean totally and at once. First, the entire tar paper room gave a shudder, and then she disappeared at once. And totally. Nobody understands it. Well, maybe I understand it. Once, in eighth grade, Denton Nashbell had an epileptic seizure. Mrs. Motterhock squatted above where he flapped like something, half a person, half a pennant. She was pressing a filthy spoon to his tongue. I've remembered him 25 years now. And that woman? She was the universe's tongue. The universe swallowed. That's as good an explanation as any. Once, in sleep, you started a dream soliloquy, the grammar of which is snow on fire. The words are neuron scrawl. Our words the elements sing to their molecules. I threw myself across you. It wasn't sex this time. I just wanted to keep you beside me.
Kathy, the poem is called An Explanation, but it's not.
No, I think it's more of an acknowledgement of the unexplainable. Robert Frost says that a poem is a momentary stay against confusion, and this poem and that filthy spoon are, I think, like anchoring devices, what keeps us part of this world.
Thanks very much, Kathy.
Thank you, Linda.
Kathy Bowman teaches poetry at Indiana University in Bloomington. She talked to us about poet Albert Goldbarth. His new book of poems is called Adventures in Ancient Egypt.